and has been happening for some months. Now, New Jersey's two-year-old amendments, and this is of interest to me, of course, and many people who talk about what happens with alimony. The two-year-old amendments to the alimony statute allow reduced payments based on changed circumstances. At least one judge, a trial judge, has ruled that that may be applied retroactively. In other words, not just to in the future, but it could also be applied retroactively. So that's, you know, that's an important decision. On the other hand, it's a trial decision, and I don't believe, as I said, I've been away, I don't believe that's, I'm not sure that that is a, in fact, I don't think it's a published opinion, but I have not had time to look at all the published opinions. So I will certainly be doing that and looking at this one. There's also a proposed class action suit filed in federal court to recover damages from a Princeton law firm for allegedly filing a high volume of collection suits without any meaningful attorney review of the facts in each case. And this looks to me like it's one of those mills that they just have, you know, some legal assistants, paralegals, you know, just churning out some of this stuff. And it's, you know, no one other than those firms, and I guess their clients are happy about that kind of thing. Okay, well, some tax cases. But tell you what, why don't we kind of end it for right now? I've pretty much gone back to, at least didn't talk about cases today, but went back and talked about most of the legal news. And next week I'll talk about some of these cases that we didn't get to. And I hope to have a guest in. Certainly one of these days. It's difficult to find people, attorneys, who will take the time on a Friday afternoon. I guess everybody's busy, and by Friday afternoon they want to get on with the rest of their lives. So we'll be back with the sports guys after we bring you the news.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
Hillary Clinton's corruption is on a scale we have never seen before.
Donald Trump at a campaign stop informing the crowd that the FBI has reopened the investigation into Hillary Clinton's email server. Trump giving credit to the FBI for taking the step of admitting they've reopened the investigation.
I have great respect for the fact that the FBI and the Department of Justice are now willing to have the courage to right the horrible mistake that they made.
The White House admitting they're very interested in the presidential election, and that's why President Obama is going to Florida to campaign for Hillary. Here's White House spokesman Josh Earnest.
It is a close race in Florida, and that's why the president is going back. I also suspect it's not the last time that President Obama will visit Florida before the election.
Get more news online at usaradio.com. I'm Jason Wirt.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit. Until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with the local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
Call today.
Sources are saying that Vice President Joe Biden, who refused to run for president, may end up as Secretary of State. Here's correspondent Chris Barnes.
Vice President Joe Biden reportedly on Hillary Clinton's short list to be Secretary of State if she's elected to the White House. A source close to Clinton's transition team telling Politico that Biden is the Democratic nominee's top choice to fill that cabinet post that Clinton herself held for 4 years. In Washington, I'm Chris Barnes.
During an appearance on Trending Today USA with Rusty Humphries, Leslie Milwee, a former reporter in Little Rock, Arkansas, says she was sexually assaulted by Bill Clinton in 1980.
He is a serial sexual predator, and he has been since his teen years when he was in college. We know he raped a woman in England. We know, obviously, Juanita Broderick in 78. I was in 1980.
Milwee added that Hillary's support of Bill and his sexual assaults shows that she's as corrupt as he is. USA Radio News.
Geico presents a voicemail from your friend, Washing Machine.
Hi, it's Washing Machine. It's about, 7 o'clock on Wednesday. So, good news, bad news. First, I found your lost sock. Exciting! Also, I might have maybe flooded the whole basement. It's going to be pretty expensive. But hey, at least you got that sock.
Your washing machine won't pay for water damage. Luckily, one call to the Geico Insurance Agency makes it easy to switch and save on homeowners insurance.
After the massive number of wildfires over the last year, California officials now say there's a new danger of flash flooding. Here's Randy Fuller.
Bill Croyle is deputy director with the California Department of Water Resources.
We do see the potential for increased flood flows, flash floods, and mud and debris flows.
He says officials are working to access burn areas and look at the risk from flash floods and debris flows.
To come up with emergency response plans should we receive weather on top of those burn areas.
Croyle says all of California has the potential to be hit with flooding.
Southern California is still on the pretty dry side. We do have a series of weather systems that are coming in primarily from the north, but now also from the south. You know, the last couple of days, even San Diego got some moisture.
Randy Fuller, Los Angeles.
Travelers at New York's LaGuardia Airport upset over delays and cancellations because of an accident involving the plane of vice presidential candidate Mike Pence. Here's Scott Pringle.
Flights delayed and canceled because the runway was out of action for some time. Jason is frustrated after flying in from Detroit and losing half a day.
Typical LaGuardia.
Why do you say that?
It's an awful airport.
Are you from Detroit?
No, New York.
Why is it an awful airport?
Always delays, always problems coming in. It's just a tough airport to come into.
The NTSB is investigating, trying to figure out why this plane carrying Mike Pence skidded off the wet runway, plowing into safety blocks. At LaGuardia Airport, Scott Pringle, New York.
More news online at usaradio.com.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Well, good afternoon, sports fans. It's Pat Smits, and we'll start with sports right after I tell you about the weather. Now it said it's overcast, but it was a really nice day this afternoon. Sunny, somewhat breezy, but a great fall day. Tonight's mostly clear. Tomorrow really should be a nice one, mostly sunny, high of about 66 degrees. Tomorrow night, again, should be mostly cloudy tomorrow night, but we're not expecting rain. Partly sunny on Sunday, and then scattered showers, about a 50% chance of scattered showers. So make sure you enjoy your outside tomorrow during the day, and then on Sunday morning, because, again, a little bit warmer on Sunday, 69 degrees. Sunday night, there's a 60% chance of showers, then isolated showers of only about 20%. As I said, tonight mostly clear, low about 35 degrees, so in some places it should get down to freezing. On Monday, again, we're expecting a sunny day, high of 57, and Monday night partly cloudy. So seasonable fall weather. We have to be careful of frost. I know we've had frost, and you know, if you don't have your plants in or anything else you want to salvage from outside, better do it. And I'll be back in a minute after we hear from a sponsor with the sports guys.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Hey guys, it's the Sports Guys, and right now we have Pat Smits and
Bill Wolfson. Good afternoon,
yeah,
folks.
And Bill's been holding down the fort while I've been actually out there not just talking football but watching football.
You've been Green Bay Packering it, Pat.
This year, Bill, when we got the schedule and we saw that they had three home games, the first thing I said to my husband Dave is, if I can, possibly manage taking off that much time from work, what do you think? And, I didn't have to convince him, but we were able to get tickets for the Giant game, the Cowboy game, and the Bears game. And so we went to all three of those home games because they actually, I can't think of the last time that they had three home games. Excuse me, I can't talk, but three home games in a row. So it was really terrific.
That's great. So you spent 3 weeks in Green Bay Packerland. And let me ask a question. Do the fans in the parking lots still wear those coonskin hats?
Oh, they wear coonskin hats. They wear cheese heads. They wear anything you can think of.
I don't care about the cheese heads. I'm impressed with the coonskin caps because they say you can't really wear one unless you shot the raccoon in your backyard.
And most of those guys have. The one person that I have not seen this year, there used to be someone really tall and would come. He looked like St. Patrick. And
his name is Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, no, I know. But no, that... but we had a great time and, in fact, would have had a better time if the Cowboys had not won the game. On the other hand, I don't know if you know this, but our daughter Sue went to school in Dallas, so she's a Cowboy fan. I don't know how we allow her in the family. And one of her sons is a Cowboy fan. So they came out to Green Bay and joined us for the Cowboy game. And I have to say, once in a while you happen to be in the right place at the right time, and Dylan was. We were eating on Friday night before the Cowboy game. We were eating at the Lombardi Steakhouse in Appleton. And it was just kind of a fluke, but we went in, and I wasn't sure. I knew that the Dallas Cowboys stayed somewhere in Appleton, but, I hadn't really put it together. Turns out that the Cowboys were staying there, and not to belabor it, but... our grandson, Dylan, was able to get his picture taken with Jason Witten, and he was, he's thrilled. I mean, every kid on our son Dylan's team, got a message, and, they were just, he was just thrilled. He couldn't have had a better time, and, of course, than when the Cowboys won. You know, maybe he was their, you know, lucky rabbit's foot. But, you know, that was just highlight of the trip, was that he was able to get that picture with Jason Witten.
Well, that's exciting. So let's find out. The Vince Lombardi Steakhouse. Mm-hmm. That sounds like Packer heaven to me.
It actually is. Anybody who ever goes out to Lambeau, you know, Appleton is about 40 minutes south of Green Bay. And in the hotel, it's now, I think, a Radisson. But in the big hotel in Appleton, it's a very nice steakhouse. In fact, I mean, I have to tell you, I had the best filet. I don't know if I had a comparable filet ever. And you know me, I do like my filets. This was, I think, a 12 or 14-ounce filet.
Well, that sounds good. So not only are you a Packer fan, but you're also a carnivore.
I guess I am a carnivore. But the Lombardi Steakhouse, I mean, if you go out, you have to make reservations. In fact, it was interesting because, you know, East Coast, we always eat later. The only reservation we were able to get was at 5 o'clock. Or we could have gotten a reservation at like 9:30, but I knew that, you know, by the time we got out of there, the game was the next day, whatever. So we took a 5 o'clock reservation, and if we had not, Dylan never would have, of course, had the picture taken with Jason Witten. But there are all of the memorabilia from Lombardi in there. It's really fun. But the other thing, Bill, and I know that you've been at the Packer Hall of Fame, but they've redone it. It is amazing. It is really just, I can't describe just what a great job they did of the Hall of Fame. Now, I have not been at the NFL. Have you ever been out to?
I've never been to Canton, but I've been to the National Hockey League Hall of Fame in Toronto, and it's phenomenal. Can you go to the Packer Hall of Fame and put on Bart Starr's helmet?
No, you can't put on Bart Starr's helmet, but you can see, you know, some of the really important games. For example, you know, obviously the Ice Bowl, but I was at the game in 62, the playoff game in, no, I'm sorry, it was the championship game back then in 62, and they had a great display of that. They have their own Packer Hall of Fame with the various players. They have some, you know, some interactive. They have some films. I mean, it was just, you know, it wears you out. I mean, it would be the kind of thing. And you can, when you go in, you can actually go in the morning and keep going back in, but you can go in and out. And they no longer have Curly's Pub, which was always one of our favorite places. They've expanded that restaurant. They've expanded the pro shop, of course, and but they just did a very nice job with the Hall of Fame, I thought.
Sooner or later, I'm going to find a Green Bay Packer helmet mug, coffee mug, not the travel mug, but it's going to look just like the helmet, and you're going to have the little stylized face mask, and it'll be the helmet. It'll
I
be
haven't
the
seen
of
that.
A helmet with the top cut off.
I really don't think
a
I've seen a helmet.
A friend of mine has one, and he's because he is from Canada, and he's from Edmonton. He also has an Edmonton Eskimos helmet mug, and the Eskimos and the Packers have the same colors, gold and green. And every now and then he'll send me a picture because he knows that I'm searching for a Packer mug, helmet mug. You were kind enough to bring me back a Packer mug from Lambeau Field a couple of years ago. But the Edmonton Eskimo mug it's ceramic and it's clad with some kind of a material like a carbon fiber or something. Because it's designed to keep your coffee or other hot beverage from freezing without the need to include an alcoholic beverage in the fluid. And he and his son, well, his son is now a dad and married and has kids, but he and his son would routinely go to Eskimo Games in the beginning of November in the snow and watch them battle the British Columbia Lions or the Saskatchewan Spitfires or whatever they call themselves. And he would always say that if he brought his yellow mug, the Eskimos would win. But getting back to the Packer Hall of Fame, I've heard that the Packer Hall of Fame is so involved that you really need 2 solid days to see everything.
Oh, you could. You really, you know, if you wanted to read everything and see everything, I mean, we of course went to the older, you know, Hall of Fame before that. I think we spent at least a couple hours and certainly didn't, I mean, we saw it all, but we certainly didn't read it all. And it was interesting because we went there when Dylan was with us, so we went there on
Monday. Dylan is your grandson.
Dylan is our cowboy fan grandson. And there were a lot of cowboy,
isn't it?
There were a lot of cowboy fans there, and actually we saw a number of cowboy fans and talked to all of them, and we saw a lot of Giant fans before the Giant game, and everyone said they were having a great time. Everybody in Wisconsin was terrific. It was just, you know, the best time they could have had, and you know, it was kind of their dream trip for many of them, and
they were just
thrilled with it. But
so, let me ask a question. You saw them play Dallas.
Yes.
What kind of a quarterback is Dak Prescott?
I am very impressed. In fact, I haven't been following what's happening since, but after that game, I didn't see how Jerry Jones would be able to bring back Romo.
Well, I think Romo's done for a career. He's really banged up.
Well, he is, but the idea was that he was going to come back before the end of the season.
I think he'd be risking a serious career-ending or even mobility-threatening
injury. Yeah, but I think if Dak was not doing well, they would have been pushing him to come back. Now they won't be pushing him, and I think if he starts pushing, I'm not sure he's going to have the support of the players. I mean, I was very impressed with you know, the job that he did. Young quarterback, you know, playing at Lambeau. You know, unfortunately, he didn't make many mistakes. He really didn't.
How is the Dallas offensive line against guys like Clay Matthews?
Well, I mean, I don't remember the statistics. I don't remember Clay sacking Prescott, did he?
I don't know. I didn't get to see many of the
games. Oh, you didn't
games.
See the game. You know, I wish I could remember. It's kind of a blur now, but I don't think they really penetrated the way that we certainly were hoping they would. They played a better game against the Giants. Did you see the Giant game?
No. I haven't been able to see a football game because I've been too busy playing around with my boat and decommissioning it. Plus, on a number of Sundays, we've had family stuff to do where it's taken me out of the area. So, and as you know, hockey has started. So if I want to get bug-eyed with my television watching, there's the NHL.
Okay, well, you know, we never miss. In fact, we were lucky because we were traveling on Sunday, but since the Packers played on Thursday night, we didn't have to worry about missing watching a game or finding out someplace that we could stop to, you know, watch the game. We came back through Canada.
You know what I've always enjoyed? Long trips. And you put on the football game or the hockey game or the baseball game, and it just makes a trip that much more tolerable. Now, I love car trips.
Well, we were listening to some of the college games.
You know, the Temple Owls are on a hot streak. They've managed to win a couple in a row. They're 5-3 in their 5-3 overall, and I think they're 4-1 in their conference. And they're starting to look like they just might get to go to the big dance again.
Well, I'm of course, you know, sitting on the edge of my seat with respect to what's happening in the pennant race.
Well,
I mean, not the pennant race, World Series. Excuse
well, you
me.
Know, you've got the Cubs.
Yeah, I know.
Can they beat the curse of the Billy Goat? Or you have the Cleveland Indians. And I remember the Cleveland Indians' famous gnat game when they were playing the Yankees in the playoffs, and Joba Chamberlain had to leave the mound because he was getting eaten up by gnats. And the Cleveland
Well, they're not
batters.
Getting eaten up by gnats now. It is cold.
Too cold, yeah.
In fact, I watched the first game, what was that, Tuesday night, and it finally, I think, ended about... I don't know. Was it 11:30, 12:30? It just seemed to go on. And it was 3-0. I thought the Cubs had so many chances to come back. And then, at the end, Cleveland had three more runs. So it was a 6-0 game.
I thought Cleveland was absolutely dominating in their pitching in that first game. I don't know how the Cubs managed to avoid being no-hit. And yet the Cubs came back and won the second game. So
right.
No,
they did. They looked much better in the second game.
All they needed to do in Cleveland was get a split. Cleveland no longer has home field advantage. They go back to Chicago, to the friendly confines of Wrigley Field, and hopefully the Billy Goat isn't there to curse them.
Well, if you remember, John made some bets for us when he was in Las Vegas. And one of his bets, I bet that the Cubs would win the pennant and would win the World Series. I've won one. I'm waiting to win the second. And then my third bet was on the Packers to win the Super Bowl. Now, obviously, there were small bets, and they're not worth that much. But I'm looking for the trifecta this year.
Well, I hope you get it. And by the way, Pat, speaking of the trifecta, there are a couple shout-outs we have to give before we break for commercials at the bottom of the hour.
Okay.
First of all, Sunday, October 30th. At Stengel Factory, the Flemington Fine Artisans Show, between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. It's a show and sale of exceptional handmade art and crafts by outstanding area artists. See, we're not just sports guys here. We are artists also, or we appreciate them. Now, I'm a man with no artistic talent, but I will tell you that I'm going to try to get to the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce Business and Home Expo Restaurant and Showcase November 10th at the Hunterdon Central Regional Fieldhouse Commons.
Well, that's always
Central,
great.
Because that's from 2 to 7, and the restaurant showcase is from 5 to 7. And, Pat, take one good look at me, and you know I like to eat.
Well, and in fact, in my earlier program, I talked about the sponsors, many of whom are friends of ours here at the Chamber. But it really is a good way to see so many local businesses. In fact,
it sure is.
I went to the expo a few years ago for the first time. I knew somebody who's had a table set up, and they asked me to come by, so I did. And as a result, I ended up meeting someone from Financial Resources, talking to them, joined the chamber. Probably took me another 6 or 7 months, but joined the chamber. And the fun thing is you see people you know, you see people you don't know. It's a good way to, see the local businesses and the food. Actually, last year, food is really pretty good.
Very good.
I think I shouldn't say pretty good. It is, the food is good, and some of it was really impressive, and you'll find some people that, you haven't, restaurants that you haven't used before, or catering that you may not know about. Anyway, people, it's Thursday, November 10th from 2 to 7. But don't worry about coming in after work, because from 5 to 7 will be the restaurant, what do they call that?
They call it the
restaurant showcase.
Oh, it's a great thing.
But they have samples.
Admission is free, so come there instead of eating.
So.
You can pig out.
Parking is free. The admission is free. And it's just a good way to show support of Hunterdon County and Hunterdon County businesses.
You may find that there are chamber members there who can provide you with some very valuable services or some very valuable advice or something that'll make your life a lot better. So buy local, buy Hunterdon.
Right. And just to again mention the Flemington Fine Artisans Show, I know that they have a variety of things. If you're looking for holiday gifts, good time to, look. I know that a friend of mine who makes silk, beautiful silk scarves, handmade silk scarves, I'm sure she'll be there. And there'll be people who do pottery, jewelry, and just artisans. And if you haven't been at the Stengel factory, it's in, Bill, you'll know, it's in the old, it's in the shopping center. What's that shopping center
called? The old Stengel pottery right off of Vine Street, just down the street from our studios here.
Right.
And, Pat, you know, the Stengel pottery is it's a historic building, but they've got a great coffee shop there, a very good restaurant and Bluefish Grill, a number of art galleries, a farmer's market on Sundays, and it seems to be a real lively go-to place for an awful lot of people. We even have a brew pub there now. I can't think
really
of the name of it. But, you know, Flemington's beginning to get pretty exciting. It's nice to see the town beginning to come alive again after so many years where things have just kind of leaped along slowly. But now we seem to be really jumping. And, you know, the chamber's going to be moving to the new headquarters on Main Street in the old large mansion, the mansion with the four big columns. And I think we're supposed to be in a new studio sometime right around December 1.
Oh, really?
That's going to be exciting, too. So a lot of exciting things at the bottom of the hour, though, and we need to talk about news and weather. So, Pat, hit that button.
I don't know if we need to do a news break, but we certainly want to tell you, since we've been talking about some of the local businesses, let's tell you about the local sponsors who help support the radio station. And we'll be back after we have these, I guess they're commercial, non-commercials, but they're great things from our sponsors. And back in a few minutes, couple minutes.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
I'm your ice cream man, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambee's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambee's Purely Delicious ice cream, gelato, and sorbet made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31, south of Clinton. Pambee's. Purely delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi and Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property,
can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today. Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntertonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Well, we're back, and it's sports, guys. We're still waiting for John Manfreda, but you're stuck with Bill and I.
Well,
and,
I don't consider that stuck.
I don't either.
I get a word in edgewise now.
I agree.
You know, Pat, last night I was awfully frustrated. My Philadelphia Flyers were playing the Phoenix Coyotes, and Phoenix has won two games this year, home and away, both against Philadelphia. And the Flyers don't seem to like to wake up and until the second period. And I'm not sure what's wrong with the team. They're not suddenly not getting good goaltending. The defense looks a little rusty for some reason. I'm not sure what's going on. Last year, Shane Gostisbehere was a real phenomenal second half of the season. This year, we're seeing that he's making what I'll call some rookie mistakes. Flyers have brought up Travis Konechny, who's second in the team in assists. He's gotten a couple of goals. He's a very exciting young guy. And Ivan Provorov, who we both saw at the Lehigh Valley Phantoms. And I wanted to tell our listening audience that once again the sports guys will be having a Lehigh Valley Phantoms trip. One Saturday night in February, we'll be heading up to Allentown. We found a couple of good restaurants in the area. Hope everybody likes Italian food, because I sure do. the Phantoms are anxious to have us come back, and we'll be auctioning off some more Zamboni rides. So let's stick that in the back of our minds.
Actually, and I'm not someone who goes to many hockey games, but it was fun. And it would be the kind of thing to bring kids. I mean, it's not that expensive. And the kids will be seeing the up and comers. I mean, these are the best are going to be playing with the Philadelphia Flyers, or maybe traded to someone else. But it's really, to me, it's almost more fun to watch hockey at that level or the college level.
It sure is.
Or and I've said this before, but my grandson is playing in the league, and I always forget what league it is. It's the league where these kids are all out of high school, and they can play for a couple years. He's playing with Rochester, Minnesota, and they can play for a couple years, and they're all aiming to, you know, hopefully go on to play college hockey or, you know, get into the pros. And it's, you know, quite a competitive league, although he tells me, my grandson, that is, tells me that, you know, the guys are really fun. They're really fun to be around. They're all working incredibly hard. And although it's competitive, it's certainly not nasty. And so this is, you know, for somebody who has a hockey player in your family who's good and wants to play college, you know, this is a good gap year, a year
like one of the junior leagues.
It is a junior league.
Now, you were in Fort Wayne on your trip out west, weren't you, or to the Midwest? And that's the home of the famous, venerable Fort Wayne Comet.
I remember that.
Been around since the 40s.
In fact, we just didn't have time because of, you know, how much ground we had to cover. I would have loved to see a Comet game.
Well, the Comets, I think, play in the Central Hockey League, if I remember correctly, or the Ontario Hockey League. It's hard to remember and keep all these leagues straight, but they've moved around, and I think they might be a Blackhawks or St. Louis Blues farm team. It's hard to recall. But I have friends who decided that they were going to go see as many hockey games as they could possibly see in 1 year or in one season. And Fort Wayne was definitely on their list. And they went to a nice arena in Fort Wayne, Indiana, had a good old time. And they had called ahead to tell the PR people that they were coming, and they were going to try to go to as many rinks in the league as they could. So they ended up following the team bus to the next place they played, which I think was the Lake Erie Lock Monsters or something.
Hockey's big out in the Midwest. It
sure
really is.
I mean,
football's big, but hockey's always been big. Now I think more so all over the country than it ever has been. In fact, can you imagine as when we were growing up that anybody would have ever thought there'd be a hockey team in Phoenix?
That's right, or that a great hockey defenseman would come out of Florida.
That's true.
You know,
that's true.
So, you know, you name it, we've had an explosion in sports. But, you know, Pat, something else happened this week that is of a little bit more serious nature in the world of sports, and it also blends over into our universe as lawyers. The Giants released Josh Brown, their kicker, because of problems with domestic violence. I hadn't been following the story, but I read about it in the paper early this morning. And apparently he had been suspended for a game by the league or by the Giants, and then the Giants decided to outright release him. Now, what's your take on that, Pat? Is that something that, I mean, nobody condones domestic violence. It's a bad thing. It's not something that anybody wants to see. But
was this domestic violence against his wife or girlfriend?
It was against his wife, as I understand it. Apparently the Giants managed to see some police reports and decided that they just couldn't have a relationship with Josh Brown anymore.
You know, unfortunately, and, you know, I mean, this is a tough call because the problem can result that there will be underreporting or no reporting. And that is if someone thinks that if they're reporting, their spouse could lose their job.
That's a
real problem here. It's a problem with police officers. We did a lot of training a few years ago as part of the ABA with military, and I've represented some military. And the difficulty there is the women knew that if they reported domestic violence and if, in fact, their husband was convicted, and yes, there are some men who are victims of domestic violence, but usually it's women, the difficulty was that they would be out of the service, they would have, you know, their income was gone, And usually their pension was gone if they hadn't been in for 20 years. And so there, it was a real problem, and this was in California that we were dealing, but it was a real problem as to how to, you know, prevent the domestic violence, protect the women, and yet not take, you know, not make it so impossible for them to seek protection because their husbands were going to lose their job. And that's the difficulty with a situation like this.
I don't really know the solution. I don't practice family law. Certainly, I think it's a terrible thing for people to be using violence. I remember
of course
a quote
it
from
is.
Science fiction. One of my favorite writers, Isaac Asimov, violence is the last refuge of the inept. And there's a lot to be said for that. However, when you sometimes get into situations, and we are all human, certainly not to condone it, but there has to be a certain amount of forgiveness. There has to be a certain amount of reconciliation. But sometimes it can't.
Yeah, but forget forgiveness. The question is, and I prevention. Don't know anything about this. I know that the league and other employers are. The league is really working on prevention. The players, you know, are well informed because of. You know, some of the other incidents as to what happened. My own sense is the way that the Peterson case was handled, when he, you know, really pretty viciously beat his 4-year-old. Yes, he was suspended for a year. He did everything he needed to do to come back. I certainly hope that that was not just an example of somebody who was a superior player getting back. But to me, that was the way to handle it. In other words, no, don't push it under the carpet. But, you know, perhaps when these things come up, there should be something, you know, short of releasing a player who, you know, means that now his wife and family, you know, what kind of support is there going to be? Because most of these guys are not going to be able to go out and earn much money once they're released.
You spent your life playing a sport, and we know athletes are just like everybody else. Unfortunately, there are some athletes who have tremendous senses of entitlement, and there are others who are just the opposite. They're humble, nice people. And you can't really... You know, on one hand, you want to be fair, but on the other hand, you can't have a one-size-fits-all kind of situation. And the little bit of family law work that I did early in my career, and some of it did involve abuse and violence, I always said to myself, what's the right way to handle something like this? And I really think that, you know, when you're in court, you're in front of a judge, and you're advocating for your client, the judge is in an awfully tough position because they really are on, I'll say, the hot seat. Because you're never really sure what the right solution is. If you're too harsh, well, maybe you just blew up a family that could have been saved. On the other hand, maybe you're in a situation where if you're not tough enough, it continues and somebody gets badly injured and killed. And I don't know the right answer.
Well, I think that the right answer, obviously, initially from a legal standpoint, is a restraining order.
Exactly.
I have a situation now which in some way is comparable because there is a violation of a restraining order. The man is undocumented. And in fact,
that means he's an illegal alien.
Yes, I've been corrected recently when I said illegal alien, but he's undocumented.
That means he's not in the United States legally.
It's not, and he's not in the United States. He's an illegal alien or undocumented, is a more politically correct way of phrasing it. I understand, but that's a dilemma here because, and I'm going to be in court, so I don't want to talk about the case, other than, you know. If he's found guilty, and, you know, very easy to find him guilty under the circumstances of what happened, but that means that he will probably be turned over to immigration. He will not be working, and he will not be paying my client support. So
and he may not be in the United States.
Well, he's either going to be probably, you know, deported or certainly incarcerated before he's deported. And either way, he's not going to be earning money. She really needs child support. So, you know, I think our goal is going to be, if possible, try to work something out that, you know, will enable him to stay here, still protect her. You know, and there is a restraining order, so they don't live together now. It's just we have to, you know, somehow work out something where he can see the children. And we had a very good supervised visitation program in Hunterdon County, and that kind of disintegrated, and it was unfortunate because we were using that program, and that worked very well because my client could drop the children off, he could see them, and there was no contact between the parties. And what we had tried to do is get a third party to have the, you know, so no contact between the parties, and unfortunately there was still, you know, a problem. But always that's a difficulty, because if you're asking a woman to either protect herself but at the expense of support for herself and her children, it's a real dilemma. So anyway, let's get back to sports. It's unfortunate that this is happening. I think the Ray Rice situation really brought this in the forefront, and you know, and I understand the league doesn't want to ruin their image, and so that's the kind of thing that you know, comes out. And unfortunately, some of the good things, like, you know, Jason Witten happening to stop and, you know, have his picture taken with my grandson, you know, that's the kind of thing that nobody ever hears about. And so many of these guys really do a lot, and they're really positive influences. On the other hand, you know, many of them have grown up in violent situations. When you look at the number of football players who've grown up and how devoted they are to their mothers because they had an absentee father. You know, these are not simple issues, and I would hope that before someone was released, they would, you know, have some, you know, counseling, some, you know, anger management. I mean, there are ways to deal with these problems.
Well, let's hope so, because it's a very tough choice for a judge sitting on a bench to have to figure these things out. I don't envy our judges.
Yeah, well, some of them are clear cut, but the problem is they're very clear cut, and, you know, a restraining order is appropriate way to deal with it. The difficulty is if a restraining order means that someone's going to lose their job, that's when it's such a dilemma. And by the way, and because I was traveling, is the Ohio State Michigan game this weekend, or did they play last weekend? Do you know?
I'm not an Ohio State Michigan fan, and I know that's a great classic
college
matchup.
Oh, classic.
Particularly if you live in the Midwest. That's like Christmas, Hanukkah, and Rosh Hashanah, and Ramadan all rolled into one. It's wonderful.
If you ever, and any of our viewers, if you ever have a chance to you know, see, there are a couple documentaries on the Michigan State, Michigan Ohio State games when, Woody Hayes and who is Schemmler? Who was the other coach? I always
Schembacher. Schembacher.
Yeah. If you see some of these, I mean, this was an unbelievable rivalry. And of course, you know, I went to the University of Wisconsin, so, you know, we were always not happy, especially with Ohio State. But, you know, this is such a big rivalry. Anybody, real college football fan, should want to go to the Big House to watch a game.
Well,
what is it, 80,000?
Oh,
I mean, it's bigger than
stadium seats, 80,000.
That's what
people.
I'm saying.
I think it's bigger than Beaver Stadium at Penn State.
Oh, it's it may not be bigger than the Rose Bowl, but I think it's bigger than most of the NFL stadiums. And the other thing that my grandson said is when they came to Wisconsin, they had to fly into Minneapolis and then take another puddle jumper into Green Bay. And he said they flew over the new Viking Stadium. And both my daughter and grandson said it is just unbelievable.
I hear it's very beautiful. Yeah. It's like a glass palace.
It is. They said it's just this glass palace kind of coming out of the ground. They said it's really fantastic. So as much as I hate the Vikings, I guess one of these things I'll have to do one of these years is go to the Viking Stadium. Although, you know, the stadium I'd really like to go to is the
Dallas.
Bears.
Oh,
no,
Bears.
No,
oh,
the
Soldier
Bears.
Field?
Soldier Field.
Well, Soldier Field, one of those historic places that's been renovated over and over again. I think it was built in the 20s or 30s.
To commemorate
World War I veterans.
Well, I know it was built certainly before Lambeau, and Lambeau was first built in like 57. But, that's one of the old ladies, and, anybody should want to see a game there. But let me ask you, what's happening with Philadelphia?
Well, the Eagles have the Cowboys this weekend, and that ought to be a great matchup, Carson Wentz versus Dak. We'll see whether the Eagles' offensive line and the Eagles can put together a running game with that offensive line. The Eagles, as you know, have been banged up. They've got a rookie playing at right tackle, and he seems to have improved. I can't pronounce his name, but it's one of those long Pacific Islander names, and I'm ashamed that I can't pronounce it. But, Pat, we've got to talk about the team that puts the fun in dysfunctional. And they're playing the 0-6 Browns this week. So this is the Browns' first win against the New York Jets.
Oh, gosh.
You've got Todd Bowles after letting Ryan Patrick sweat it out for one night, and putting in Geno Smith. Well, Geno managed to get himself hurt. No, nobody punched him. Smith gets hurt. Patrick, along with some interceptions, actually led the Jets to a victory and a cover against the Ravens. So once again, he's a starter after calling out his coach, GM, and owner for not believing in him. Now, mind you, he might not get signed again, but if Patrick and the Jets get on a good run and can crawl their way back into contention, they're 2-5 right now. So what I will say, what does it mean for the Jets and the Browns Sunday in the dog pound? The expectation is for a close game with the 0-7 Browns sniffing their first win. The Browns have played hard. They've had some in-game success besides one injury after another. They're starting Josh McCowan, who's relatively new. He's got a chance to get deep balls to a guy like Terrell Pryor. He's got running back Isaiah Crowell and a tight end, Gary Barnage. And, he may have to... They may even see six-string quarterback Kevin Hogan, who rushed for 104 yards last season. The other thing is we've got the Falcons giving away 3 points over the Packers, Pat. How can that be? Falcons are favored over the
Packers?
Yeah,
that is going to be a tough game for the Packers. That doesn't surprise me. With what the Packers have been doing.
Well, Falcons are what, 4-2?
I'm not sure, but...
This is the time for the Falcons to stop the bleeding. And I understand that Clay Matthews...
Yeah, but
Matthews,
the Packers are... The Packers have 2 losses also.
Yeah, I understand that Clay Matthews and Demaryius Randall and Quentin Rolls all miss Wednesday's practice. So what's going on over there?
Matthews could be hurt.
Yeah, that's what I think. I know also that we've got a great matchup. The Eagles are about to take the luster off the Dallas Cowboys, my humble opinion. They're actually favored by 4 points over Dallas.
Now, wait, what did the Eagles do last week?
Oh, they won. They won big time against a team nobody expected them to beat, the Vikings.
You don't think I asked that question without knowing the answer?
Oh, I knew you knew the answer because I could see your face lighten up. Well, we listened to the game on the radio on the way back, and the Eagles did to the Vikings the same thing they did to the Steelers. They rose to the occasion. And, it was 11-3 at halftime. And the Eagles managed to control the Viking decent running game. They snared a couple of interceptions, and they had a tremendous goal line stand. The Vikings had the ball on the two, couldn't punch it in, had to settle for a field goal in the fourth quarter at a time when the Vikings were desperate to score.
Well, you know what was interesting about that game, and I didn't have an opportunity to watch it, but I would have liked to, because you had Sam Bradford against Wentz.
And that was the storyline all week in Philadelphia. They were saying, we're going to find out whether we made the right move or not. Now, I think Sam Bradford's a good quarterback.
Oh, I think he's much better than people thought when I watched him play against the Packers and watched a couple other games.
He's got a good arm. He's not the mobile kind of guy you would think. But I saw something in Carson Wentz that really impressed me. He managed to fumble two snaps, drop back.